702. Weekend Breakfast with Refilwem Paganyani.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 9:38 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. And of course, what we do on a Saturday morning is step into the literature corner where we talk books, we talk words, we talk poetry, and we quite often, or when we can, get to speak to the people behind those books, behind those titles, behind those words, the writers, the authors, the poets. And today I'm really happy to have joining me on the line two co-authors of a book of poetry. It's called Imiphumela Yobulumko Maungo Abutlhale. This book is co-written by Unathi Mgandela and Stan Monson. I've got Unathi on the line right now. I think we're still trying to get through to Stan, but let me start by welcoming Unathi, and thank you so much for your time, Unathi. Really appreciate you having reached out. At least your colleague did on your behalf. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hello, Refilwe, and to 702 listeners. We are really grateful for the opportunity. Thank you so much for giving us the platform to speak about our book.
It is an absolute pleasure. And let me take the opportunity now to also welcome to Weekend Breakfast your co-author, Stan Monson. Stanley Monson, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for availing yourself. You're out of the country, but you still said yes. I'll definitely hop on a call with you guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to the listeners, and I'm grateful to be on the show.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm going to start with you, Unathi, and if you could, you know, tell us, I guess, the backstory, the genesis of this book of poetry, this body of poetry that you have written, that you have in two languages, right? Which is very useful, which is very helpful, but also just, you know, really beautiful as well. How did you and Stan come to co-author Imiphumela Yobulumko?
It's an interesting one, Refilwe. You know, as the listeners might not be aware, let me just share that in December last year, my mother passed on. So, you know, we've been friends with Stan since, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. when I was still at Foreign Affairs. So Stan is a publisher, Stan is an author. So grief made me write a poem to grief, made me write a poem to death. So I wrote that poem in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep that day. I was so angry at the fact that my mother had passed. Mm. Then I decided to send that poem to Stan, and I said to Stan, "Stan, you can use this poem anyhow you want to use it. You don't have to mention me. You don't have to say that it's mine. I know you are a writer. You can use it in one of your books." Stan was interested, but said to me, "I cannot use your work." Mm-hmm. But instead, I think you should write something about hope. So I wrote about hope, and then he said to me, "Can we do something in Venek instead of a language that has been promoted so much, which is English?"
Yeah.
So I agreed to that. And then my ink never dried. Our ink actually never dried from there on, because Stan is a visionary. So when he saw that I could write that poem, we both decided to collaborate and write something that promotes bilingualism.
Yes.
Which I think history has not seen it yet. I think we are the first ones, because for some reason, books have been written in either one language and translated in English, but mm-hmm. we've never seen something that is written in vernacular or in indigenous languages. So I do believe that we have just made history with STEM.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, what, as you say, as you rightly pointed out, what sets Maungo, Abutlale, and Imiphumela Yoblumko apart is the fact that, sorry, I said earlier on Sesotho, my apologies. It's written, you know, it's written in Isixhosa, and then, you know, directly under the first, each line of Isixhosa, you'll find the Setswana line or translation of that same poem, and you TikTok the languages as you go, right, in that same vein. Stan, you are the publisher of this book. It's Stan Monsu Publishers. And as Unathi alluded to, you are a publisher, you are a writer. This is something you've been promoting, literacy, reading, writing with young and prospective authors. This is work that you've been doing for a very, very long time. But this unique approach, what fueled it? What inspired this for you from your perspective? And what did it mean for you to be writing or coaching Unathi on this writing journey in her period of grief?
Yes, I think what inspired this writing specifically was because I think in a nutshell, we owe it to ourselves to preserve our languages, our cultures, because no robots will do it on our behalf. And I think that's the reason specifically we took an opportunity to say, we can write anyhow, and I think we can be before anyhow. Mm-hmm. But then I think let's take an angle of provoking some kind of a conversation that was never done before on planet Earth or in the depths of the seas. And that's, I mean, if you look at South Africa, this landscape, there's never a point where Setswana and Setswana combine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we took it then upon ourselves to say, let them provoke this new way of doing things, to say every society in South Africa, no matter the demarcation of the past, they can start to want to learn about the other and embrace the other. And I think this is just the start of the greatest that we're going to do, when we'll see Chivenga meeting Africans and Tsonga meeting Isizulu, and many others in that way.
Yeah. I mean, Stan, I'm sure you are definitely at you have a particular vantage point when it comes to entrenching a culture of reading and writing amongst young people. But you know what also just struck me as I was perusing the book and reading the poems is just that incidental learning that happens, right? Depending on which language you're strongest in, your reading is closer. You might speak Setswana, it might not be that strong, you're reading, and you know, you're making the connections, you're making the dots, you're connecting the dots rather, and yeah, and you walk out of this experience two poems in, three poems in, with an expanded vocabulary. Of course, you're enjoying the melody of the poems, the lines, you're enjoying the musicality of it all, the imagery as well, and of course the emotion, right? But that as Unathi alluded to or said, that engendering of bilingualism or multilingualism that, of course, we were known for in South Africa, but perhaps as a diminishing a phenomenon depending on where a person grows up, but especially in urban areas. Oh, goodness. We've lost Dan's connection. We are speaking to him he is speaking to us from Sudan. So I guess it can be expected that we might have some technical issues. Let's see if we can get him back. But Unathi, you know, have you received that kind of feedback that, you know, that incidental learning of another language, or just, you know, picking up the vocab, the nuances of Setswana, if, you know, the person that's reading the book is primarily a fundamentally a Xhosa speaker? I just think it's a lovely initiative in that regard.
Indeed, Rufilwe. You know, actually, Comfort, who's sitting there next to you,
my producer, yes,
alluded to the fact that this also helps him, because he has grandparents from the Eastern Cape, even though he grew up here. So I think this will touch many people. Even for myself, it's a learning curve, because I don't necessarily know Setswana, but I'm learning through this book. So it has just been an eye-opener, and I do believe that it will preserve so much of our languages and at the same time we will be learning so much from each other and not only focusing on what we know.
Lovely. Yeah. I'm going to ask the both of you to please read a poem each very shortly. But I see we've got Stan back on the line. Stan, welcome back. I hope we can hear you clearly. Are you there?
I'm here.
Fantastic. Stan, before I ask you to read your poem of choice this morning, I'm going to just, I'm interested in your work as a publisher, okay? The fact that this book is printed or published under the imprint of Stan Munso Publishers, the joys, I guess, the insights of, you know, being your own publisher. I don't know if you'd call it self-publishing, but essentially having your own publishing and book imprint. What has it shown to you or highlighted to you in terms of what's possible in the South African literature landscape, but perhaps what we need to sort of double down on and perhaps do better on?
Yeah, it's an exciting journey. You know, I started writing a book and it was published by somebody. Also, then I started, you know, I said I could learn to do the publishing, especially, you know, there's mainstream, there's self-publishing. And I got into the game and then I understood it. But then for you to understand this game, you need to be a reader. Because you have to take up a whole lot of time to understand the content, but then also the context in which it directs the message from a point of view of the messenger, from the point of view of the end user. So I think that is, you know, something that has then inspired me, and I think it is easy to take up any material. And I think you will see from our profile that I can publish whether it's children's book, poetry, novels, and any other genre of the books. And I think that is something that I keep challenging on myself, and I'm inviting, you know, a whole lot of other people who wish to publish and who think it is difficult to come up and take up a challenge. I know the difficulty and challenge to feel it just is the funding. Publishing is not very cheap, but with collaboration, sometimes it's not about money. We collaborate sometimes because we're working towards a common goal of inspiring our nation, our society. So it's not always where people are going to be charged. It is about what is the message, what is the context, what is the direction of the message.
All right. Stan, I'm going to start with you and ask you to read us your poem of choice. And of course, to translate it for us into English as well, because that's the medium, the language in which we're conducting this interview. And of course, of our listeners on 702.
I thought it was Heritage Day. You know, I thought we'll just stick to what we know. And that's fine. I'm going to read a poem. And it is titled Haikitla Itwamaya. Haikitla Itwamaya, Sagasa Enisi Hobanela di Hato Payone, Ikile Hudila Huyahile, Sagasa Enisi Hudisa Sodi Mosayone, Ikile Hola Yomose Kabi Kanto, Sagana Hana Hue Kobanela Hudila Moena Nemo. Haina Mato Hobona did it for the Hutra. Ga ena dinao go fafanka, mme o ne a kena le tsona. Ga ena matogo go tumedisa, ga ena molomo go tsamaisa maaka. E dikantse fela mo go bona go tshela le go swa. Ga ena diphuka mme e fofa ka matla a bona. Matla a bona go tsamaya e fedisa setshwano sa bona, setshwano se se agilweng ka boiketlo ke mmopi wa magodimo. So this poem is about COVID-19. It's basically saying this thing won't go away unless we take an initiative, unless we stop listening to the lies and the false narratives that we find on social media. It is about us taking a responsibility. It's not about listening to the president, you know, saying you must wear a mask. He won't force it. He won't put it on your face. Mm. At the end of the day, it's up to you to put that mask on your face. It's up to you, your actions and other things, just to save your own life, just to save the life of your family member, to save the life of your neighbor, and to save the lives of all of us. So in a narrative, that is what the poem is about.
And of course, the beauty, the musicality that I was, you know, talking about in our in the introduction of our indigenous languages, you know, hearing it read, but also pulling it into contemporary times, and you know, having a Setswana poem talking about matters that we're actually grappling with and struggling with right now, and that is COVID-19. I think also does something really, really special in terms of not just preserving language, but you know, making our languages living things, living archives and libraries of not just historical experiences, but contemporary experiences as well. Do you find that we often forget to do that? That's, you know, for poetry, you know, those forms of literature are not these things that are stayed, but things that definitely can be utilized for contemporary matters and issues that we're grappling with, like COVID.
A lot of times we do, really, and I think sometimes we want to present things that are overtaken by events or are hyped up by just you know the media. But that's why I spoke about the importance of context, of the content, to say what is it that it is intended to do at this present time. Is it intended to perpetuate negativity? Is it intended to perhaps, you know, promote some positivity, the imaging, you know, things that are going to bear fruits for us in the future? And I think that is what we should strive to do at all times, to say, I'm not just going to write a book so that I'm called an author, but I'm going to promote something that is going to become a tool, especially for generations to come. We are mortal beings. In 40, 50 years, we won't be here. And I think we need to say, for the ones that are coming, what is it that will lead them, and in what kind of direction will they lead them, so that they can be able to represent us, you know, as the human nation? Because as we always say, we are survived by those that are coming in the future, and we have to say, if we are going to be survived by those who are coming in the future, what tools have we given them to survive?
Yeah,
and I think that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. Well, Nathi, I'm going to ask you to read your poem of choice for us, please.
Thank you, Refilwe. The name of the poem is Abanda Kwethu. Imibongo yokuzalwa nabantu, abathando lingenamkhethe, abanxaso ingathandabuzekiyo, ababubele busisiphiwo, ndibano zethu zigcwele ukuhleka, hliziyo zophanga mxhelomnye, ndibabalwa ngokuzalwa kokuhlala sibelekweni sinye nani bantakwethu. Mahlande nyuko bomzi wabamba sonke, ndo enqabileyo leyo ndithi mandibulele, zange inhliziyo zenu zingahlala ziyile migodi yezimbiwa, thando lwam kuni lugqitha namanzi olwandle. This poem, Refilwe, is about, it's actually an expression of gratitude to my siblings for the love, for the support, for the kindness that we all have for each other. So I just thought I should put it in writing whilst we are still alive, because we have a tendency of telling our loved ones, when they are gone, how we felt about them. Mm. And they, in reality, they never had an opportunity to hear from us how we truly feel. So I thought it important, as God has given me this opportunity to be writing with them, that I should express my gratitude to my siblings.
Really, really beautiful. I think, I don't know, maybe some listeners want to, you know, send a voice note on 072-702-1702 and argue with me about this. But I feel as though, Onati, you had an unfair advantage in writing as Xhosa. Because this is just the way Xhosa is spoken. And you know, every day Xhosa, and, you know, the language is beautiful, it's poetic, it's really, you know, you'll tell me whether or not you agree with the fact that I think, you know, you definitely had an unfair advantage in this game. But thank you so much for, I guess, putting your grief to paper and sharing it with all of us, because COVID-19 has been, and, you know, I guess life, adulting in general, can be tough. But this particular period has really seen us having to grapple with multiple sort of traumas and knocks. And I'm sure many people find themselves at a point where you're looking at your own trauma, whatever it might be, and you wonder, well, can I really compare myself to the next person? Or there's just been so much of it, you don't even know what to feel or how to feel anymore. And to have someone from, you know, someone write this poetry and reach out, you know, reach out to Stan and say, listen, use this however you want to, and it, you know, ends up as this book of poetry that you both co-authored is really something special. Thank you so much for sharing your words, your journey with us, Unathi. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rufilwe. And I'll take you up on the fact that I'm at a disadvantage now. So I hope you are going to have us again.
No, at an unfair advantage. But absolutely do come back to Weekend Breakfast.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Really appreciate it. Brastan, thank you so much for availing yourself all the way from Sudan. Where can people find this book?
The book is available at Shaga Books. It's going to be available on Amazon, and we're still negotiating with a few bookstores because of the, you know, that unfair percentage share that is struggling in the publishing field. So I think once it is there, then we'll be able to announce. But I think people can just go to our social media pages, just them on so Unathi Ngandela, and I think they should be able to find us there. And I think we can be able to do direct sales if they cannot find it at the bookstores now.
Lovely stuff. All the best to you both, and thank you for your time. Stan Monso and Unathi Ngandela are the co-authors of the book of poetry Imi Pumela Yoblumko and Maungo Abotlale.